It's recording now?
What?
It's recording right now?
It should.
Okay.
It should not say recording right now.
Oh, it doesn't say anything.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking. You've talked to her two more times than I have in the last year.
The cogs are doing like a cog table. So then we can get out of here.
Okay.
Put you front and center.
Oh, look at that.
There you go.
That's what he gets for wearing a tie.
That's what he gets for wearing a tie, that's right.
Does that put us?
Leah told me that you want to have another geotech meeting. So yeah, you got a date?
22nd?
Yeah.
23rd of February.
Because our room, I think, most available Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, we were having it on Thursday.
Oh, good. Yeah, at first,
but
I think
we're in the
Monday.
We're in the Alpha room.
Oh.
She said she called and set up the Alpha room for us.
That's right. But, you know, Alpha room is not in the same building. It's not the building next to ours.
The Alpha's not in the one partner's place?
It's in one partner. We are in two partners.
Right, right. Yeah, we've met there before.
Oh, good.
We've met in, yeah. So, yeah, we're fine with that. That's not a... As long as it's okay with y'all, we're...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, now, we're not...
The census will have their meetings next Monday. Do you know about it? I think the census bureau have people coming here to talk about...
Okay, I think we're going to get started this time.
Okay.
So, we'll be at OU.
Remind you guys to get a green light on your mic if you want to be heard. I was reminded about that. What? Okay, welcome everyone to the State Geographic Information Council meeting. This meeting is being held in accordance with the State's Open Meeting Act. And those notices have been posted on the front of the building as accordance to that law. So we are officially meeting today. We do have a quorum, so we can take care of business as you should. If you would, we're going to go around the room and introduce ourselves as we traditionally do. We start up at the head table and go around and just say who we are and who we represent. So we'll start with Mike up here.
Mike Sexton, Oklahoma Department of Commerce.
May One, OU Center for Spatial Analysis.
Jay Evans, Department of Transportation.
Mike Shagree, Water Resources Board.
Mike Minton, Oklahoma Corporation Commission.
Mike Sharp, Conservation Commission.
Wade Patterson, Garfield County Assessor.
Jane Weber, Oklahoma Geological Survey.
Susan Langley, sitting in for David Milan, Oklahoma Agriculture Department.
Leroy Lobby, representing city government.
Steve Stadler, state geographer of Oklahoma.
Heather Mallory, DEQ,
and Dan Hutt with the Oklahoma Biological Survey.
Shelley Willoughby, Office of Geographic Information.
Ray Bunker, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Charles Bray, City of Ardmore.
Brenda Fennell, Choctaw Nation, GIS.
Ryan Spring, Choctaw Nation Historic Preservation.
Billy Crabb, Choctaw Nation Emergency Manager.
Patricia Billingsley, Oklahoma Corporation Commission.
Jared Smith, USGS.
Maynard Mueller, GIS Manager, Chickasaw Nation.
John Ellis, Chickasaw Nation Geospatial Information.
Corey Gillum, Chickasaw Nation Geospatial Information.
Darrell Williams, U.S. Geological Survey.
Amateur A.U. Redlands.
County Spivey City, Midwest City.
Ryan Stinson, Surex Corporation.
John Phillips, OWRB.
Sergeant David Davis, Oklahoma Military Network.
Mark Brown, Department of Transportation.
Craig Moody, Department of Transportation, Planning and Research Division.
Brian Pauls, Aerospace Service. Brian Booth, Central Oklahoma Governments.
Jimmy Johnson, Delaware Tribe of Indians, Department of Programs, Parks and Management.
Ed Chancellor, Washington.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone. If you didn't get a chance to sign in on the sign-in sheet, please do so. That way we can keep you on the mailing list for things that come up. Okay, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the January meeting minutes have been circulated to members. They're reviewed. Does anyone have any corrections to the minutes? Or if not, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion been made and seconded. We approve minutes as they were printed. Is there any discussion on that? Hearing none, those in favor for adopting minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Thank you. Minutes have been approved. Committee reports. Dan, you got anything on the...
Yeah, I've got a little bit more I can report on. I talked a little bit about this last time, but the biological survey is getting a grant from the Wildlife Department to get started on the Oklahoma part of our land cover mapping, so we just are finishing up the paperwork on that. But the money will allow us to hire a field technician to interact with people at Texas Parks and Wildlife and develop field collection, field data collection scheme, coordinate effort to develop the map legend, and work with the Missouri folks on the things that we need to do to coordinate with them. So we should be getting that money should come in really soon. We should be getting going on that very shortly.
Yeah, it's good. Great news. Charles, on addressing standards.
Addressing standards. We met and took and looked at all of the states around us that are pursuing the addressing standards for points and centerline files. We've gone through and pulled the fields that they deemed necessary in theirs, filtered through and found those core fields and the schemas for those core fields. You know, say the left ad, right, the left ad from, left ad to, right ad from, right ad to, for the addressing. We've got those nailed down as far as what is required, and then we're looking at some different optionals. If you want to do routing, which field is going to be required for routing. I think we've got that nailed down to the point in time we're probably needing to meet again in the near future and go ahead and start testing against some other data sets and then look at making sure that what we're actually proposing is going to meet national standards. So, moving forward, slowly but surely.
Good. Making progress. That's good. Anybody have any questions on that? Guess we don't have any other things that are kind of out there cooking in the way anyway. You guys. Well, great. All right, well, we'll move to the presentation for today. We're very fortunate to have John Ellis here with the Chickasaw Nation, and he's going to show us what they're doing down there in their GIS department. So we're very honored to have you guys here today.
Thank you.
You can get out of the way. So
do you have a... Yeah, I did. That's cool. That's cool. That's cool. That's cool. That's cool. That's cool.
States to work, and then other states on the boundary county added control over time.
How's everybody doing? We're having a little bit of technical difficulties. What I want to do is, we have like a 5-minute presentation that our multimedia department has created that kind of showcases and gives some history and culture of the Chickasaw Nation. And I was wanting to showcase this. It's a pretty good short film, but I guess he's going ahead and trying to get this thing pulled up. But my name is John Ellis. I am the Director of Geospatial Information for the Chickasaw Nation. I work for the Division of Housing and Tribal Development. A lot of people may ask, and a lot of people do ask me, why do you work for the Housing Department? Which is kind of weird in the fact, but about 8 years ago, I was the only person doing GIS at the Chickasaw Nation. And I guess the easiest way to say it is, most departments didn't want to deal with GIS. They didn't know what GIS was. Or they might not have wanted to hire me, I don't know. But anyhow, it became one of the best decisions and departments and administrations that I've worked under. Our administrator really takes care of us. He sees what GIS is, and he sees what it can do for the Chickasaw Nation. So right here is about a 5-minute film that we're going to watch. And this right here, like I said, it's going to kind of showcase a little bit of history of the Chickasaw people. So looks like we're about to get this thing started. While we're sitting here, I'd like to recognize one of my employees, if you don't mind. Corey Gillum. He doesn't know that I'm going to do this, but Corey Gillum just got back from serving overseas for the United States Army. He was attached to the Oklahoma National Guard, so he spent time in Iraq. This is his first week back at the Chickasaw Nation, so I'm proud to have him back, and I just wanted to say thank you, Corey. Y'all did a great job, and welcome home, soldier. Thank you. I guess this is just one of the y'all missed out on this film because it is really good. This presentation is going to be pretty much informal. I'm not going to get into the technicalities of the thing we do as of development, standard operating procedures, and those types of things. If I did that, we'd be here all day. So what I wanted to do is kind of showcase some of the things that we're doing at the Chickasaw Nation that involves GIS. As you can look at this map right here, this kind of showcase, this is a map we created back in about 2002, and we've been updating it ever since. But This right here is showcases where the Chickasaw Nation people came from. So it signifies as a, not only do we collect data in 13 counties in South Central Oklahoma, we also have to collect data within about 8 states around southeastern United States. So whether it's topos, aerials, archaeological type data, we collect data in about, like I said, 8 different states here. This map right here, like I said, showcases our treaty sessions that were given away at different parts of the time. We have seen treaty sessions in different books, history books throughout, but we've never seen a map that had every treaty session. So that's what we wanted to do in this map, is put all that information together and create one map. Then it also showcases our removal routes, whether it's land or by water, to present day Chickasaw Nation. We also have hunting and trading areas and different mounds and different historic sites that we wanted to locate on this map. This right here is present day Chickasaw Nation. Present day Chickasaw Nation is located in South Central United, or Oklahoma right here, as you can see. We cover all or parts of 13 counties. We have 4 legislative districts, Pontotoc, Tishomingo, Panola, and Pickens. Our headquarters is located here in Ada, Oklahoma, and our capital is right here in Tishomingo. I wanted to kind of showcase this map too. This is really what got GIS started in the Chickasaw Nation. The Chickasaw Nation has many departments and administrations. Back in the day, there was not one centralized database that housed all of our tribal land records. So what we had to do is contact like Commerce, Headquarters, Division of Housing had their own lands. The hospital, Health had their own lands. So what we did is pulled all that information into one centralized database. Then we got with the BIA and got all the allotted land information. And a lot of those were like location descriptions. And we went out and delineated all this. And as you can see, it's kind of checkerboarded throughout here. And I think there's over 400 something allotted tracts within our 13 county service area, not including our tribal lands, the Chickasaw Nations. But this is really what got GIS started in the Chickasaw Nation, is the tribal lands. Our department consists of 10 full-time employees at this time. Like I said, I am the director. We have Maynard Gaylor, which is over here. He's the GIS manager. We have 2 GIS specialists. We have 2 GIS technicians. We have a GIS analyst. We have a web application developer. We have a systems administrator, administrative assistant. Then we have 3 year-round part-time students from East Central Cartography Department that work 20 hours per week. Then during the summer, we have 2 more interns from East Central University that come in and work 135 hours to get their internship at East Central. And we also have like a summer use that comes in and will work the summer. Then also we have an IT representative, is Robert Hicks, and he is our project manager. So at one time during the summer, we may have 17, 18 people working in GIS at the Chickasaw Nation. When we became a department, we wanted to create a mission statement. The Chickasaw Nation has a mission statement, which is to enhance the overall quality of life of the Chickasaw people. So the GIS department came up with, we wanted to develop, maintain, and promote a quality geographic information system for the Chickasaw Nation and the Chickasaw people. Our vision statement, we want to support efficient and effective decision-making processes. We also want to support the Chickasaw Nation service area GIS users and share technology, information, ideas, and solutions. Some of the goals are to enhance and develop quality GIS data, improve data distribution, promote GIS, and outreach GIS. This kind of gets a little bit into our system architecture, but what we have for our data storage, we have a NetApp 9270, 24 terabyte, and 12 terabyte fully redundant SAN. And it runs with a fiber switch connection to servers, which we have 3 terabytes of geographic data in 7 geo databases with 10 terabytes of imagery. Now, we've worked with pictometry, and also we've been working with CERDEX over here, Brian, as we see in the crowd here. But that imagery really takes up a lot of space. It really does. And with the imagery, we pretty much have Chickasaw Nation covered, and with 4-inch and also 12-inch, and we worked with, like I said, CERDEX to get some 6-inch leaf on imagery. Our servers, we have 5 IBM HS22 blade servers stored in an H chassis capable of holding up to 14 blade servers. Each server contains a quad-core 2.8 gigahertz processor with 16 gigabytes of memory. We currently operate 4 production servers and 3 testing servers and 1 database server. The testing servers are great because we can create an application, test it, fully test it, work out all the bugs before we send it out to the different departments that we're disseminating the information to. Licensing, ARC Server 10, Enterprise Advanced Edition. Redundancy, we have data warehouses that is mirrored at 2 offsite locations for security purposes. And let's say tornado or flood comes through and wipes out our data storage system. So we have another storage system in a different county that they say that if something happened to ours that we're using now, they could have it up and running in the next day. So that's great to have. This right here is just kind of a visual graphics of our system architecture. If you want to take a second and have a look at that. We have 3 main focuses at the Chickasaw Nation for GIS at this time. We're not limited to, but these are the 3 main services that come and ask us for help. One of them is emergency management services. Now we'll go into some of the projects that we've been working on for emergency management services. The first one here is we created a response time map for the Black Horse Police. Black Horse Police has approximately 24 officers working at it. They have officers out in the field. So they have between 6 to 8 at a given time that are trying to cover 13 county service area, or 13 counties. So what they wanted to do us to do is create a response time map. So what we did is went out and GPS their headquarters. Then they have substations here, here, and here. And we created a roads network. That was something that we were working on for our roads department, which we actually went in and I think there's over 48,000 segments in our service area that we had to go in, centerline, and work on all the attribute data. So that took approximately two years to complete, but we had eCentral interns that helped us out, so it wasn't tying up our time. But we got this done, and we were able to create a transportation network. So this right here map illustrates that. Another project that we just completed is mobile applications. We created a mobile application for the Light Horse Police, as you can see right here on the iPad. And also what we do is work for creating the mapping system for the Light Horse Police dispatching system, which is they use New World CAD system. So we incorporated pictometry imagery that works well with the CAD system, and also Esri products, which is the shape files. Light Horse Police, when they have an incident, they need to know if it's on tribal trust land or allotted land or not for jurisdictional reasons. So this information is quite vital to them. And we have a direct connect to our server, so once we edit a piece of land, it automatically is served out through their CAD system. So it's kind of like real time for them. The mobile app that I was talking about, we created, we had a problem that happened last week, as a matter of fact, and this helped out. There was a murder north of Ada. A guy killed his wife. And it happened in the night, so Light Horse Police were sent out to the area to look for him. As I said, it was dark. It was kind of in a rural area, so a lot of trees, this and that. So Jason remoted into our imagery and was able to look around and see if there were hiding spots in those areas, building sheds. So he used that information to be able to locate this suspect, and they apprehended him. So that was a great project that really worked out well. And also, we connect two other Light Horse police officers' iPads or iPhones, and they can actually see where their other officers are at any given time. So that really helps out, too. We do things outside the Chickasaw Nation also because, you know, there are Chickasaw citizens that live within certain areas. So we definitely try to help EMS services throughout, whether it's OHP, county sheriffs, police departments. We definitely try to help as best as we can. Union Valley came to us last year, and they were having problems responding to emergency management calls. You know, if they get a call for a fire, you can see the smoke and get there. Now, somebody's having a heart attack, you know, time is of the essence. You got to get there as soon as possible. So the roads network wasn't being updated as quick as they should be through the county or their EMS to have them dispatched out. You know, some of the roads might have been spelled wrong. They might not have been labeled. Their 911 addresses might not have been located. So they asked us if we could create a map book for them that they could have put this in every fire truck that they have. So this is the map book that we worked on. This is the front page. Then you pull it up and we get the overall service area. We work with the department, mapped out their service area, then went out and GPSed all of their fire hydrants and also their headquarters. On the next page, we got sections, grids set up, as you can see, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way across. So this kind of gives a location of where these sectors are when they flip it open. Then you can go into an actual map of the sector. So that if they're driving down the road, they can actually look at this aerial and they can see are there houses on this road or if there's an unmarked road. We also worked with the 911 center in Pontotoc County, and they gave us all the 911 addresses. So we incorporated those into this map too. So they carry these map books in all of their fire trucks, and he said it has really helped them out. So we were definitely glad to help that fire department out with this project. Here's another project about a year and a half ago. This is Murray County, over here by Falls Creek area. A child got lost out there at Falls Creek. So the search and rescue, OHP, and Sheriff's Department contacted our department and asked us if we create a grid so that they could set it up and set people in to go out and search each grid to find this individual. This is a new map that one of our interns just completed. And he did this for a senior project at East Central for the cartography department. But the city of Ada got a bond to build a new fire station. So they had different criteria, and they wanted to know what is the best place or where is the best place to build this fire station. So Mark Masoner is the one that created this map. He spoke with the fire chief, and he actually went back 11 years, pulled back 11 years of data, incidents. And I think there was about 10,000 incidents that he went back, geocoded, and placed throughout the city to find where the most incidents were taking place, looked at demographics to kind of figure out, you know, where the most people are at. Also, they wanted a 4-minute response time. They wanted to be able to find a tract of land that was open that was at least 3 parcels. So he worked with this, and he actually got to go out in front of the city council meeting last week and do a presentation to the Ada City Council and their engineers, and they said they would definitely like to use this information to be able to find or pick the new location of the new Ada Fire Department. And here we go back into the iPhone application, and I talked a little bit about it before, but this kind of gives you a visual idea of, you know, what we've got going. All the stars represent the facilities of the Chickasaw Nation. We've also went out, and Corey went out and mapped out all of the sheriffs, police departments, clinics, hospitals within our service area, then created attribute information as of contact information so that Light Horse Police has that information at hand. Tribal lands, you can see, are located right here. You can see a few with the red and orange here. We'll zoom in a little bit more. But this is what kind of pulls up. They can use their GPS on their iPhone or iPad, then it will automatically locate them and they will know if they're on tribal land or not. Then it can also stick click those stars or that tract of land, and the attribute table will pull up and pull up information about that feature. This is something that's very dear to me, is GIS work for cultural preservation. Me being Chickasaw, I'm on the repatriation committee, and as we saw before, the Chickasaw people come from Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky. So let's say Walmart is building a new site in Tupelo, Mississippi. They start digging, they start doing their construction work, and they may find remains, artifacts, and those types of things. So they've got to shut down, and they've got to do all their work and work with, I think they work with Ole Miss quite a bit, catalog, and those types of things. So when all they get all their work done, they contact us. I think there's about eight of us on the committee. And we'll go back and do a ceremony to repatriate those remains or artifacts. And I think this site right here is kind of close to Nashville, Tennessee, where we did this one. And how GIS is involved in this is, when this happens, when we cover everything up, I go out there and GPS this information, add the attribute information, then we serve that information out to by a web application that we built back to the Cultural Preservation Department. Then that helps out because we want to know where these sites are, but we don't want to put up a sign. Somebody will come out and start digging, which they do that all the time. And in case we want to do another repatriation in this area, you know, we got to know where this site is so we don't dig back into this. So another thing that we do is historical map archives. And I think this is like an 18th century French map. One of our administrators went to the British Museum of Natural History a few years back and did a lot of research as a Chickasaw or Chickasaw-related maps. So he brought all that information back to us. We store it and save it in a database. And we have different people that work for the Chickasaw Nation going all over the southeastern United States collecting information, maps, and bring that information back to us so we can store that and then disseminate that out to the people. Another reason that we were kind of excited about this map is I was looking at this map one day, and like I said, it's a 18th century French map. You know, it's been around for a couple of hundred years, and you know, it's pretty awesome if you ask me for what the tools that they had, what they were able to do back then without GPS. So I was like, why can't the Chickasaw Nation create something like this? Why can't the Chickasaw Nation create something that will showcase our culture and history and that will last for ages to come? So what we did is come up with this map, and bear in mind, this map is not finished. It still likes probably 3 to 4 months left on it, but I say that we've been working on it 2.5 years so far. So this is what we come up with, and we hope to have this map ready for the ESRI International Mapping Contest. Now, we still like a lot of work to be done in this area and a lot of cartographic work to be done. I mean, this is just a representation of the geographic area that we're using, so don't pay attention to that. But what we wanted to do is showcase, you know, you see the cartouches, you see the fancy drawings in those 17th, 18th century maps. So we wanted to incorporate this with the Chickasaw style. So what we did is start from the beginning. The Chickasaw culture, the raven and the crawfish, is what created the earth. And so what we wanted to do is start from the beginning, go all the way around with different stories, DeSoto, trading, removal, John Harrington, astronaut, to where we are today. Then what we wanted to do is incorporate into this map is historic sites, trading routes, our session areas, those types of things. So somebody could go up to this map, and it's going to be printed at about 8 foot tall by 12 foot wide. You can't see the detail, I mean, as of what our Chickasaw artist went in and did on this map. Like I said, this has been 2 years at least of him working on this. We're probably working with 8 different departments on this project. And can you imagine trying to get anything done with 8 different departments? Can you imagine the problems that you run into? I think we ran into every one of those problems and more. So that's what's kind of taken so long. A lot of people have different ideas of what represents and what to put up here. You know, some of these symbols, they mean different things to different people. So it's kind of been a battle, but we're very excited about this.
Where is it going to be hung?
We're going to hang it at the Cultural Center in Sulphur. Then we're looking to get it here in Oklahoma City in the Native American Museum. And what we plan on doing is getting it in D.C. That's our main goal. So this right here represents, you know, I just wanted to kind of blow this cartouche up to kind of showcase the detail that James put into this drawing. Now, he drew this by hand. And what we did is we researched, you know, found our first Chickasaw Nation seal and incorporated that into here. Invictus Victoria Latin for unconquered and unconquerable, which Chickasaw Nation is known for. And like I said, this is kind of informal. If you have any questions at any time, don't hesitate to ask me, and I'll try to answer your questions. Another project we've been working on, it took a long time, is our cultural resources department. They brought us a stack of maps. Now, these were the original surveys of Mississippi. And you can see the area that's involved here. And what they wanted us to do is scan all these maps in, cut, crop them, geo-reference them, because a lot of these 1830s maps you see here has a lot of routes, footpath. They have historic sites. So what we did is we went and did that. It took us a while to do this, but we geo-referenced every one of those maps. Then we went in with our GIS and delineated all the lines, polygons, point features, so that they can pull those over today's map aerials and know exactly where these events took place. Something else that kind of goes along with this is aerial photographs. We received these from Washington, D.C., and we received these in a digital format, so it made it a little easier on us. But what we're doing in this project, and this is a 1937 aerial photography of Lee County, Tupelo, Mississippi. So as you can see, we can start doing some change analysis with this. And I think this right here is kind of not have been transparent, and you can see the transparency as you go down here and see a little bit of the change that has went along in 80 years. This right here is a look of the web application that we created, customized for the Cultural Preservation Department. They kept contacting us at all times. They use this website daily. We were making so many maps for them that we decided to create them a custom web application so that they could start using this information, make decisions with this information, and save us from making so many maps. They can make their own maps. So this is just a look of their information. We can't show too much because it's confidential, but this just gives a screenshot of it. Here's another big project that we've been working on, Birney Institute. It's by Medill. Birney Institute was a Chickasaw boarding school for Chickasaw children, and it lasted from about 1850s to the late 1800s. And here's present day Birney Institute. Now this is kind of where we've been using GPR, ground penetrating radar. Birney Institute had a cemetery. As you can see, it's located probably about 200 yards from the actual institute. But at one time, there were over 240 remains, headstones, located in that cemetery. Today, there are probably 20 standing headstones. A farmer bought this tract of land in the early 1900s, and he wanted to make way for his hay operating business. So he just started picking up the headstones, throwing them in the creek, piling them up by a tree. So there's approximately 200 and something remains that we need to go out and find and mark in one way or another, whether it's GPS or by a stone. And here's our ground penetrating radar machine. It's a US radar that connects to Trimble GPS. And as you can see, we did a grid here, and these markings here with the X, that's where we were finding that possible remains. This right here is a look of your data, a screenshot of your data logger, what you're actually seeing. So you're looking at hyperbolas, arcs to find disturbance in the ground. That's kind of hard to tell at times. So what we wanted to do is use a 3D software, which is GPR Slice, which we had Dr. Dean Goodman. He is a geophysicist from California, and he actually came down and taught us a couple of days of how to use the GPR Slice software. So we could bring that information that we collected out in the field and further analyze it into the office. Then with the GPS connection, we can overlay it over today's aerials and, you know where there may be some remains and mark them on there. And this is Ron LaBarca, and he's from New Jersey, and he came out and trained this on the use of our U.S. radar GPR unit. Now I want to go into a little bit of the economic development, some of the things that we're doing for the economic development side. One project that we worked on with the Roads Department is help them propose a new scenic byway. We have a lot of great, beautiful area right here in the Davis-Sulphur area. We have the Chickasaw Recreational Park right here. We have the Chickasaw Cultural Center. Turner Falls, you know, everybody I'm sure around here has been in that area knows how beautiful it was. So working with the Roads Department, we helped them in the application process of getting this project or this byway funded and approved. We had to create 27 maps to go with this packet, application packet. And here's just an example of two of them. The official Chickasaw Nation map. Now, we've been working on this too, and I'm sure some of y'all have seen this map too. We finally got it approved, and it's about to go out to print. I think we're going to print 25,000 of these maps. We created this fully in-house. We're going to send this out all over the United States to all the Chickasaws. Then also, we'll have these in our travel shops, museums, and those types of things, and they're going to be out to the public also. What we wanted to do is, Chickasaw Nation is getting very large. We have a lot of facilities, and the main reason we come up with this map is to try to locate and showcase where those facilities are for the Chickasaw citizens, and not only for the Chickasaw citizens, but for all citizens as of to come to the Chickasaw Nation, and there's a lot of great things going on. Here's the back side of this map. So as you can see, you know, some people, they may go to the hospital and they don't know how to get to the headquarters. So they could use this map. Not everybody has connection or a laptop to be able to go on Google and route themselves. So what we want to do is create the old fashioned map. You know, this is kind of based upon the Oklahoma travel map. And we had some good news on this. A week or so ago, Esri contacted us and said that they're going to use this map, and it's going to be in the next Esri International map book that's going to be showcased in San Diego. So we're kind of excited about that, to have this map printed and published. WinStar, there's always construction going on there. They're always building new golf course, new facilities, parking garage. As you can see, a lot of things going on. A lot of things going on underneath the ground. They were having trouble managing all that. So they asked us to create a utilities network, whether it's telephone, electrical, sewer, water. So this is a map of the utilities network that we helped created for WinStar. And this is only half of WinStar, you know, we've got a lot of things going down here. But I just wanted to showcase, you know, how much information is on this map that you had to actually go out and collect. It saves a lot of money in the future when you start digging around and you know that there's something that may be underneath the ground there. This right here is the first web application that we created in-house. This is for the Realty Department, and as I said before, tribal lands was a mainstay as of getting GIS started within the Chickasaw Nation. So the governor wanted to be able to use this application to pick a facility or tract of land and find out all there is about that tract of land at one point or click of his hand. So we went out, created this web application, got all the documents, whether it's warranty deeds, environmental assessments. You know, you can click a piece of land, you'll have all that information there. You can click and it will pull up floor plans for the facilities, photographs of the facilities, critical 360 we have up here. This has been a great application and it is used daily by the Realty Department, Governor's Office, and the administrators to make a lot of important decisions. Outreach and education, we do a lot of public speakings, we do a lot of public training for a lot of children, college students, high school students, Tribal GIS, East Central University. Some of the new things that we're looking forward to is some infrared imagery. We're wanting to do a little bit of 3D in the future, and we're looking forward to some 2-inch and 3-inch aerial imagery. And as I said before, you know, without Governor Anitubby's backing, this department could never be what it is. So we definitely want to thank the governor for all the things that he did for our department. And that's the end of my presentation. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you for the presentation. I know that some tribal GIS, they also preserve languages.
Yes.
That create the GIS multimedia and connected to the language.
Yes, my mother is actually a language specialist for the Chickasaw Nation, so I hear about that all the time. Yes.
So you are in, you
what
have
we want to do is incorporate in that Chickasaw historic map too. We're wanting to incorporate Chickasaw language in it too. But you know, we want to keep it enough English so people know what they're looking at, because not everybody can speak Chickasaw. Mm-hmm. So.
The other thing related to that is what they call spatial narratives. Uh-huh. That because a lot of knowledge is passing by oral narratives.
Most
so
definitely.
With that georeference to different part of Chickasaw Nation to talk about stories.
Yes, most definitely. And we have people actually right now that are working on projects like that to bring that information together. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's a great idea.
I wanted to ask you about your iPhone apps. Are you using your own servers or the ESRI?
Yeah, we're using our own servers at this time and our own information. But I am thinking that I got to do a little bit more research to see the data that's out there and to see if it's going to be good enough for what we're trying to do. And I'd rather somebody else keep the data up to date than me, because the data has gotten so much better than it was. So, yeah, we use our own servers to push that information.
And it's just consumed with the ArcGIS.com app.
Yes, we're going through ArcMobile to push that information out and send it out. We're having to cache all of the imagery because those files are so huge that if you don't, you'll be sitting there forever trying to pull something up. So, and that's been a big problem with us right now too, doing that, because those data files are so huge.
John, you mentioned your pictometry and your high resolution photography. Are you sharing that or partnering with any of the counties or any of the cities?
I have. We worked on a project through the Department of Justice and got funded a couple years ago for about $750,000. And we worked with the Choctaw Nation, and we definitely share that information with them. I work with University, Eastern University, share information with them so that they can teach the cartography students and have the latest and greatest up-to-date data. City of Vegas come to us and asked us for, they were going to have to fly an area that was going to cost them $20,000+ because they put in a new water line. They asked if they can use it, so we definitely share data throughout.
For any of the counties, have they expressed interest in partnering with you?
Well, there's not too many counties within the Chickasaw Nation service area that actually run GIS. So we've had probably 3 to 4, and most of it's emergency management services. They're wanting to use a CAD system for their police officers. But we definitely will have an open ear to share with people if possible. And, you know, if we go out and purchase more data, we'll fly new areas. We would definitely like to work with, you know, county, city, governments to purchase this data.
Are you flying every 2 years or 4 years?
Last 3 or 4 years, we purchase data every year.
Okay, just different segments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually, it'll be every, I'd say 4 years, we'll fly everything. 4 to 5 years, we'll fly everything. Then every year after that, we'll just fly that for
suburban areas. I say urban, South Central Oklahoma, Fayetteville, or more of those types of
neighborhood shops.
Yeah, yeah, neighborhood shops like that. And like I said, we worked with Surdex this past year, and they flew some leaf on, we did some samples of Molly Depot in the city of Beta, and we got a sample of that too, and I think it was 6 inch. So, yes. Any other questions?
Which API or software do you use on your web map? Do you use Flex or Silverlight? Or?
Flex. Flex. And we have a web application developer, and more than welcome to contact him, and I guarantee you he could answer your questions a lot better than I can. I'm not even going to try to know all that stuff.
If you have an emergency in a certain part of your jurisdiction area, how long does it take you to pull something up and get that information to the emergency manager or the fire chief?
Well, it kind of depends. It kind of depends upon, you know, who they contact. And, you know, one bad thing, that I hate to say this about Chickasaw Nation, is our network times. For one thing, at 6 o'clock, when everybody's home, it blazes. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it may be slow. But as of Jason, he is on a Tier 1 access, which would be the hospital, too. So we're, I think, on Tier 2, so they have more access than we, or a faster access. So his application is instantaneous for him to pull up that information. So he hasn't ever come to us with a problem as of it's being too slow. Now, there's other departments, like I said, in different times during the day, it don't work so well, which I'm sure most of us have those problems throughout here.
John, you have a lot of land records you have to manage.
Yes.
I guess you have to work with the BIA and their records. Do you find many discrepancies between what you all have and what they show?
Well, we have a realty department that takes care of all of our tribal trust and non-trust lands. And they work very well with the BIA, and we work very well with the realty department. The realty department is actually under the Division of Housing, too, and they're actually right there beside us. So anytime that they do an update, we get that information. And, you know, they may have information wrong sometimes, and we find it. So it's a good QAQC working with the realty department. The BIA, we work with them on our tribal lands, allotted lands. Now, that's the only way we get that information is from them. And the last time we did an update, it was probably 5-6 years ago. We've been trying to work with them to get new information to update this information, because Light Horse police officers, BIA firefighters, need to know. So it's kind of been a rough working relationship trying to get that data out of them. But, you know, we're more than welcome or willing to delineate that information if they give us the location descriptions or warranty deeds, and we'll give all that information back out to them, because we need that information too, just as much as they need it. Any more questions?
For your new world system, are the CAD operators actually looking at maps at their stations?
Well, actually what we did is the new world system, they're getting up to a new world, I think a 10 right now. And beforehand, it was all shape files that we had to give to them. We couldn't even create an MXD. So the map that you might have seen in the background is so ugly, and I hate to showcase it, but it's not what we created. That information is being served out from our department to them. We tried to go in there and create, you know, a file or create an MXD, but we just couldn't do it at this time. But the information that they're receiving is real time from our department.
And the ones out in the vehicles are on they have Toughbooks or iPads?
They did have Toughbooks, and we created a mobile app for the Toughbooks. And right when we got finished, they said they're going to iPads. So we had to start back all over. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to
that right now. Yes. So we're just now we've had the iPhone application completed, but we like a couple of more things to do for the iPads. And they tested the iPads. They love the iPads. So that's what they're going to use. It's
and
cheaper.
And are you using Esri's application for the iPads?
Yes. We're in Arc Mobile. We're pushing it out through Arc Mobile. And also what Jason can do is connect from his office to his office computer. And which will do all the processing there. He just does a remote connect, because we have a web application that we built for them too. What we do is call the mobile a light version. It doesn't have all the information. If he needs more information, he can remote connect to his office computer, which does all the processing much faster, and serve that information back out to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Well, I just wanted to say thank you for inviting me here, and I had a great time, and you are more than welcome to contact me or my staff at any time, and we'll definitely help you out as much as we can if we can.
Well, John, we thank you immensely for coming and sharing this with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Preservation of our cultural history. That's something that I think the GIS community can really leave a legacy for us as we move ahead in the future, because a lot of these documents and history is being lost, either through an oral preservation mechanism or these old paper maps. In the Conservation Commission, we deal with old land maps, and a lot of those are getting to be over 100 years old. They just don't last that long, you know. And unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of funding out there to do that kind of work, you know. So, you know, it's a great project if you as a GIS person want to, you know, do something of service to the GIS community, is take on a project to find a place where you can maybe help preserve some of those old maps. So I just think that's a great effort, John, that you guys are doing to capture that.
Thank you.
That history.
It's very exciting, very rewarding.
Yeah. Every time I dig around, and my family is a family of pack rats, so we save everything. And I found an old box the other day that had a bunch of old gas station maps in it that my grandmother had tucked away, you know. And you go back and look at an old 1950 road map, it's just, and compare that to what we have today, it's just, I don't know, it just kind of makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck sometimes when you see some of that stuff, how things have changed. Anyway. Okay, next thing on the agenda, just any data issues or general GIS discussion that anybody might have to bring up. I know David usually has something that he wants to bring, but David's not here today, so... if there is nothing along that line, we'll move on and see if there's any new business. Anybody have anything they want to hear about? Okay. Announcements. Probably got some activities going on. Shelley?
GIS Day at the Capitol is March 14th. We still have spaces available, so if you haven't registered and you would like to, please let me know. Magic is also in April, and I've been sending out weekly reminders and information about that. We'll continue sending those out until the conference, talking about short courses, training, registration. So just highlighting a different aspect of the Magic conference. It is in Kansas City. If you have any questions, certainly contact me, or you can click on the website based on those links.
Charles, do you have anything on Scott?
Yeah, go ahead. If you've got an email to remind you about voting for regional SCOG officers, there weren't a lot of nominations this year, so but you need to go ahead and go on there and vote. There's a couple of them on there you can vote for. Also, how many times have you had someone walk in your office with a laptop, lay it on your desk, and say, "I need mapping on that thing in about the next 15 to 20 minutes"? We know that we have that in our sterile environment, but we don't necessarily have the quick way to give them the ability to take and push that out to them with no network connection. February 15th, Edmond Fire Department. That's going to be our user group meeting. That's what I told Esri to take, and here's their question. Fix that problem. Give us something that we can take as GIS professionals and have sitting there waiting for whoever walks in. The idea for it was public safety. We're going to have Edmond Fire Department presenting. We're going to also have Chesapeake presenting, as well as Esri coming in and presenting. And it's going to be for the GIS professionals and for the first responders to kind of to bridge that gap. It's a free half-day user group meeting. Go online, sign up for it, February 15th. Also, Regional SCOG Conference in McAllen, March 26th through the 30th. Sign up for it.
There is a growth down there that we haven't seen in a long time. The region is growing really fast. I was surprised how new and how clean all the GIS applications were going on down there. There's a lot of growth down there in that region of Texas. Also, training class, bam.
We've got two basics. Well, we've done, last fall we did a basic one in September, and then we followed up with one in October. And there was such a good response that we went ahead and switched one for December and for January, and both of those were filled. And I mean, my colleague, we had 16 people, and I had people asking for more. And since then, I've had people that even asking for more. So we are going to go ahead and do another basics in one in May and a basics two in June. We're also looking to then add more advanced training through different resources. So. What we have with SCOG is we have the ability to offer training at reasonable prices, and I think that's really what people are responding to.
We've seen it's a need right now, so we're looking at going, why don't we go ahead and fill that need? We have the resources in-house in Oklahoma to go ahead and fill that need, go ahead and step up to the plate. If you have any ideas for training that you'd like to see and think that you have enough people to kind of get something started but might not have enough to fill out a class, probably pull together and fill that class for you and probably facilitate that as well. So if you have any ideas, holler at Pam or Shelly or I or anybody else that's talking with Daryl, and we'll go from there.
Okay, thanks. Any other announcements on any meetings or anything coming up? Okay, next meeting. Now we got GSA in March, so typically we don't meet in March. So that would mean April would be our next opportunity for a meeting. First Friday in April is the 6th, which is Good Friday. So I'd like to get a little input from the council on whether you want to meet on Good Friday or whether you want to push it off to the following Friday, the 13th.
I'm not sure about the availability on the 13th. No, we can't on the 6th for sure, but I'll have to check.
I think Good Friday's a good day.
Okay. All right. We'll stay with Good Friday. All right. Okay, well, if there's nothing else for the good of the day, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Wait a second.
Second.
Those in favor of adjourn, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Did we show you our project on GeoReference Civil War events?
No.
So things pretty neat. What we have is we develop a tool that ingest the newspapers in the Civil War, and then extract events and then georeference those events, and then see how those events interact. Events in the selling slaves in the market, and slave escapes, the battles between North and South.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I would love to see that. I grew up,
I learned a lot about American history that way.
Oh, absolutely. I'm from Alabama, originally, and so that was Civil War.